What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Joe Biden reads from the podium again, and he's Ron Burgundy, no question about it. And plastics, all these microplastics the media is trying to scare you with, may not be as bad for you as you think. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. Republicans have surrendered on the border bill on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Patterson Ridley wanted to comment on the zombie votes for Nikki Haley. Hello, Pat. How you doing?
Hey, good, Rich. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I am going to get to the Grand Hotel this year once this summer. I'm
good.
Excited for
Love
it.
Love to see you there. Excellent.
I just wanted to tell you, my brother worked the polls yesterday, and I called him and asked him about turnout. He was up in Monco, and he thought it was fairly busy. And I asked him about Haley getting all those votes, and he said, you know, they put her above Trump on the ballot. He said, usually the favorite is on top. And he said, they gave us four sample ballots to test the machine. And he said, the first one, I wasn't even paying attention. I voted for her.
Oh, really?
So
wow.
I think she got some of those votes that way.
You're probably right. Yeah, and you're probably right. And either way, I mean, the zombie vote for Trump is the lowest of any other president ever in a primary. So he's okay.
Exactly.
He's going to be just fine.
All right, cool. All right, Rich, thanks.
Thanks, Pat. No, thanks for that information. It's very good. It's very helpful. It explains a lot, actually. Thanks, buddy. And we'll see you at the Grand Hotel.
Awesome.
Good. Get down there. And that's the big story of the day today, brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Would love for you to see him today. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was on with Jake Tapper talking about all these protests that are happening. I see some reports now. I got this message from a friend of mine who said that there are reports now mass chaos breaks out at college campuses across the United States as pro-Palestinian protests intensify. Columbia, Harvard, USC, University of Texas at Austin, and others are getting swarmed by protesters. There are police at USC taking out their batons as protesters are turning violent. Texas state troopers have been deployed and reportedly made dozens of arrests at the University of Texas at Austin. Harvard Yard has also been taken over by pro-Palestinian protesters who are setting up camp after the university threatened to take action. So that is what's happening there. This is Mayor Eric Adams talking about the protests that are happening at the college in New York City at Columbia University, for example, cut number 9.
And do you worry that sending in NYPD might actually inflame matters?
Well, first I want to say that I know what protest is about. I participated in protests throughout my life, particularly during the South African calling for the dismantling of apartheid. That is one of the fundamental rights we hold dear as Americans, the right to protest. What we are seeing playing out on many of our college campuses, and particularly in Columbia University, is hate. We're seeing vile language being used, and at no time should we call for the destruction of anyone, should we call for violence towards anyone. That is not what protesting is about. Now, we have to go within the law. In this country and in this city, comments like that on the surface are not illegal. But if you use it to harass someone or menace someone, we're going to take appropriate action to stop that from taking place. And we will go on private property for imminent threat. Even though it's a private property, if there's imminent threat or danger to someone, the NYPD will go on that private property.
Well, this is how a far-left pro-Palestinian person took aim at New York City, Eric Adams. He was on an airplane, and this has gone viral, this video. The woman asked the mayor as passengers board an airplane from Miami on Monday and then went into a profanity-laced rant. Cut number 8.
Are you Eric Adams? Yeah. You support the genocide in Palestine. There are homeless people all over New York. You're always partying. You don't actually care about the citizens of New York. Why are you even in Miami? You know there are people being arrested there. People are homeless in New York. People cannot afford food. You keep cutting the education budget so that you can fund the police. That's all you care about, funding the police. Everything is underfunded because of you.
I'm trying to get the
holding the line.
Very nice. Very, very nice. So what a rational person. He was so excited that she recognized him at first, though. He was really giddy. He's like, whoa, somebody knows who I am.
He had a giant smile on his face. He thought he was about to get praised.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, it's me. I'm the mayor. Look, they know who I am. And then she's like, F you. He's like, oh, shoot.
I felt bad for him almost.
Man. That's she'd be fun to fly with. I'm sure everybody was really happy she was on their flight as they're boarding the plane.
Absolutely awful. Would not want to sit next to her.
No. That's what you got to say. Can I get a seat change here? You know what I mean? Can I do that? There's a live update. Pro-Palestinian protesters have begun their encampment in Harvard Yard. What is Harvard Yard, Matt DeSantis? Explain that for us.
So the most famous part of Harvard Yard is probably the John Harvard statue, which is right outside of University Hall, and that is where their disgusting little encampment has been set up. I mean, it's not like tourists can go visit the statue right now anyway because they locked the yard down. You can't get in without an ID, which is something they almost never do. So I imagine that this is going to devolve into chaos at Harvard's campus pretty quickly.
I heard that they greased the statue, like we greased the poles in Philadelphia so people can't climb him.
You don't want to touch that statue. People urinate on it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, it's like a...
Have you done that?
No, I've never urinated on it, but there's two things. You're supposed to urinate on the statue, and then there's like a little foot that everybody touches. But I think you got to be insane to touch the thing, knowing that it's sort of... It's worth noting that it's probably desecrated.
You know, this is just another reason for people to hate people that go to Ivy League schools, right? This is just one more on the list.
It's like an initiation process for freshmen. I didn't partake in it, obviously, but people supposedly do.
Boo.
Oh, supposedly.
Boo.
You'd have to be insane. I would never, ever even consider it.
Tradition.
You have to climb. It's kind of high up there.
Well, they're going to grease the statue. That's what they're going to do. They're going to grease it so nobody can climb them. And they got that idea from Philadelphia, obviously.
Yeah, don't touch that statue.
If
you take one thing from the show today, don't touch the John Harvard statue.
Don't touch the statue. Just don't do it. Well, good. If you take one thing, just one thing from the show, it's that. If you take two things from the show, it's don't touch the statue and come to Cape May on May 3rd. If you take three things from the show, it's also come to Wildwood on May 11th for a rally on the beach.
Fourth thing would be to register for your chance to win a date and drink with Henry.
Yes, thank you very much. If you take five things from the show, no, I'm kidding. we can't even remember what the fifth thing is at this point. There's another clip I wanted to play. I got a couple more things I'm going to play for you as the show continues. But one thing that I just, I'm looking at this pathway to victory and why Pennsylvania matters so much. And thanks for pointing this out to me, Matt. Over at Real Clear Politics, they do a breakdown of the map. You know, they have a map, the Real Clear Politics average of polling. And they have what's called their no toss-up map. And the no toss-up map has Trump ahead 293 electoral votes to 245 for Biden. And that's a significant range right there. I really do think this race will come down to Pennsylvania. I mean it. I genuinely do. I think he's going to win Michigan pretty easily. I think if he wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and obviously if he wins North Carolina and Georgia, it's game, set, match, but it's also well over 300 electoral votes, and that's landslide territory right there. So he doesn't have to win Arizona and Nevada in that scenario, in that case. I think his prospects look pretty good to do so. So that's how I see this playing out. I was listening to Dave McCormick today. It was on Fox News, and Dana Perino was asking him a number of questions, and the issue of mail-in ballots came up again. They are not going to mess around with this. I mean, they're going to make sure that people get the mail-in ballot thing and do it right. They're not going to take any chances this time around. You know, in 2020, this caught us off guard. I know there's still a lot of hesitation among Republicans where they don't want to deal with, they don't want to do mail-in ballots. We just don't like it, and we really don't want to do it, but it has to be done. It has to be embraced. All these things have to be embraced. Yeah, I don't mean to sound dismissive of Arizona and Nevada. Trump is up in both of those states. I told you he's up in all of the seven swing states that we're watching. He's up in every single one of them. He's up by 5 points in Arizona and Nevada, respectively. My only point on that, though, is if you think abortion is the big issue, and I don't. I do not think it is. I think it's over. I think it's an exaggerated issue going into this election. But if you do, the only two states you have to worry about that being an issue, because it will be on the ballot, would be Arizona and Nevada. And you could write those two states off, and Trump can still win the presidency. So that's why I'm telling you the issue of abortion is not something that anybody should worry about going into this election. It is not going to be the issue that you think it is. The Democrats want it to be. That's why they don't stop talking about it. And they won't stop talking about it. And if that issue gets on the ballot in those two states, it's going to be more challenging, no question about it. But that's it. And I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it because of the fact that he could lose both of those states and still win the presidency. So my point to you is you shouldn't be worried about it. It is media hype, and that they're going to continue to bring the issue up because they want everybody to think that it's going to be the driving force going into this election. It's the only thing they have to talk about. They can't talk about anything else. All right, listen, I got a lot more to say. I want to talk about the Republican surrender on the border. But my friend Lou Vargo, Garden State Earthworks, they are going to solve your water problems for good. Once and for all, done. The water will drain away for good. That's the Garden State Earthworks promise. Now, they're very busy this time of year with all the rain we're having and more on the way. But if you call them at 856-848-4444, they will make you a priority. 856-848-4444. And Lou's a great guy. He was just over my house for dinner the other night, him and his wife. Love the guy. And he solved my water problem. If you've got water problems anywhere causing your basement, pool liner, hardscaping, landscaping, anything like that, Garden State Earthworks will fix it guaranteed. GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Biden reads every single word from the teleprompter, even the word pause. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. May 3rd is coming up fast. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be there live. I want you to be there with us. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Biden was giving a speech, and he read every word on the teleprompter. This is just great. It's great. I love it. Here we go.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. pause is the word on the teleprompter telling him to pause. And he read it out loud because he doesn't know where he is or what he's doing or anything. Four more years. Pause. PBS News, your taxpayer dollars at work here, went all in on defending the unhoused from punitive laws. The unhoused is one of those terms. They don't like to say homeless anymore. Homeless is now it's a mean word. You can't say homeless. So instead, what you do is you say the unhoused. Really, that's what you do. You say unhoused. Oh, by the way, Biden also suggested punching Trump. Yeah, no, he did. He suggested punching Trump again. Yeah, let's.
The defeated former president who sees the world from Mar-a-Lago and bows down to billionaires, who looks down on American union workers. It's not just he's not supporting; he looks down on us. No, I'm not joking. Think about it. Think about the guys you grew up with. You like to get into the corner and just give them a straight left. I'm not suggesting we hit the president.
First of all, isn't it former president? I don't want anybody to get angry in the audience, Jimmy Matthews. Brian, I don't want you guys to get mad at Biden, but isn't it former president? Just saying. Well, look, Corn Pop was a bad dude, and you know what happened with that. He and Bill Wrightmouse went downstairs into the pool room / armory and got chains and came out and was going to fight Corn Pop in the parking lot of the pool because he was a bad dude. You remember that? So Biden, you know, he throws down. He also drove an 18-wheeler. Did you know that? Yeah, he drove an 18-wheeler. He just looked at it yesterday, turned around to the crowd and go, to drive an 18-wheeler. Really? No, he never did. He never did drive an 18-wheeler, but that's fine. Anyway, it's like pregnant people. You ever hear that term too, pregnant people? That's they don't say women anymore. They don't go pregnant women because men can have babies. So they had all these pro-abortion activists, these nuts who were outside the Supreme Court today campaigning. Or protesting, I should say. And one of them yelled pro-abortion. She yelled, pregnant people should be safe. Pregnant people should be safe because men can be pregnant. That's the new thing. So you can't say homeless. You have to say the unhoused. And Sunday's edition of PBS News Weekend spent 13 minutes out of its allotted 25 taking the loose liberal attitude towards homelessness as a Supreme Court case looms on the issue. PBS found yet another lefty, an assistant public health professor at Cornell University, to make its preferred ideological case in the first segment, arguing that an Oregon law limiting homeless camping in public spaces punishes people for being on the streets. So this is the left's latest cause now, which is that you have a right to camp on the streets, on the public streets. And you see this in Philadelphia. If you ever walk around at night, which I don't advise you doing, you'll see people, as the sun goes down, will start rolling up their tents. They're rolling out their tents. Like they're going camping for the night. And cities across the country are dealing with this. So a lot of cities have put in anti-camping laws. You can't camp on a street. You got to camp at a campground. But the left hates that because they believe that the unhoused to me sounds like a vampire movie, doesn't it? It sounds like something like a Nancy Pelosi biopic. The unhoused, the undead. But they don't like the idea that you can kick the unhoused off the street. So this is what they spent their time talking about. Here is this lefty professor from Cornell University. This is courtesy of our friends at Newsbusters. Take a listen to this.
For this case, Grants Pass says, well, these laws are about public health and public safety. The two homeless people who have brought this case say it's really about pushing homeless people out of Grants Pass, getting them to move on to go someplace else. What's your take on that?
This is such an important question. And what this case is really getting at is a deep tension that American cities face when thinking about how to respond to homelessness across the country, but especially in West Coast cities that have very limited shelter capacity and are also in the midst of a housing crisis. And these two tensions that I'd like to emphasize are that cities generally use much more punitive policies, these criminalization approaches that are at the heart of Johnson versus Grants Pass, to effectively punish people who are experiencing homelessness for behaviors that are associated with the realities of homelessness. Now, importantly, the use of these punitive policies actually facilitates cycles of homelessness and does not effectively end homelessness. While the alternative, addressing homelessness through the use of more housing, as well as housing paired with access to social and medical services, does successfully end homelessness. However, we have seen cities across the United States have much less emphasis on the use of housing and supportive services compared to these punitive policies that are at the heart of this case.
Punitive policies, meaning that we're punishing people by not allowing them to camp on city streets. And when you say the word punitive twice, it really emphasizes your point. It also reminds everybody what a snarky elitist you really are. They don't want to deal with the root cause of this, of course, which is mental illness. And they don't want to deal with the fact that in many cases, they believe that it's not a matter of giving home the unhoused shelter. It's about giving them whatever space they want. Because remember something, the left doesn't believe in private property rights. So and the left believes that if it's a city sidewalk, then that belongs to the people to sleep on as well as walk on. And it doesn't matter if it's in front of a business, because nobody should have businesses, because it should all be owned by the collective. You think I'm kidding? I also wanted to mention to you as well. There was another chant today, another lunatic activist outside the Supreme Court. The vast majority of the country is on the side of pregnant people. Not mothers, pregnant people. This is why for Earth Day, you celebrate birthing person Earth, not Mother Earth, birthing person Earth. Remember that. Speaking of Earth Day, the panic over plastics is once again getting out of control. And Reason.com had a great piece on this. And what they said was basically, it's a big panic over tiny plastics. Science can detect increasingly small particles of plastic in our air and water, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad for you. A study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in January has been used for a media wave of scaremongering about plastic residue in bottled water. Its results are based on a system developed by researchers at Columbia University and Rutgers University that uses a hyperspectral stimulated Raman scattering imaging platform. I have one of those at home, don't you? Doesn't everybody? With an automated plastic identification algorithm, which, of course, was my Celine Dion cover band name in college. We are Plastic Identification Algorithm that allows micro-nanoplastic analysis. What, you didn't think I had a Celine Dion cover band? What, are you nuts? Who didn't? That sounds impressive, and it really is, relying on an immersive tank, lasers, and advanced computer techniques. The study's major contribution to science was actually not in coming up with an estimate of the amount of plastics in bottled water, but in inventing a technique that could detect nanoplastics at all. Nanoplastics, as the name implies, are much smaller than already tiny microplastics. Microplastics can be as small as 1 micron in size. 1/83 the width of a strand of hair. The smallest size particles that the researchers picked up measured 100 nanometers. This means we can now detect bits of plastic so small that 10 million of them would amount to a piece of microplastic, a fraction of the width of hair. Just as stronger telescopes can discover more planets, or better microscopes might tell us there are more bacteria in a petri dish, so too did this impressive newfound ability to see infinitesimally small amounts of plastic mean that they discovered a seemingly infinite amount of plastic. Nearly every news outlet concerned thirsty Americans with headlines such as, quote, scientists find about 250,000 invisible nanoplastic particles in a liter of bottled water. That was from the Associated Press. Bottled water contains hundreds of thousands of potentially dangerous plastic fragments. That was from The Hill. The number of pieces of plastic as opposed to the amount of plastic is irrelevant to the danger, if there even is a danger, but the aim was to communicate dread at all the tiny shards of toxicity loosed upon our water-gulping bodies. It's like pretending it is actually informative about our colorectal risk from eating beef to reveal we are consuming more than 30,000 grams of beef a year versus the equivalent of 66 pounds. They use those numbers, you know, 30,000 grams a year of beef you're consuming, which is 66 pounds. Over the course of a year, if you think about it, a burger is a quarter pound. It's not that much. The number of discrete units on an arbitrary scale is not what's important for our health risk. It's the total weight. But again, it's more about scaring the bejesus out of people, and they like to do this. They love to scare everybody. And the plastic scare, as I told you yesterday, they want to ban now sliced cheese because of the plastic. They hate plastic so much, and they scare us that we're breathing in plastic all the time and that we are drinking plastic. They haven't really found what the danger is, but it's not about actually telling you what the danger is. I remember this, I think it was either The Simpsons or The Family Guy, where they had, coming up, what's in your shower that will kill you? And they just kept saying that over and over again. And at the end of it, it was like, soap if you slip on it and hit your head and die. But a big part of the media is fear. One example of a proper perspective appeared in the Associated Press article quoting Dennis Hardesty, an Australian government oceanographer who studies plastic waste. She pointed out that the total weight of nanoplastics found in a bottle of water was the equivalent to a weight of a single penny in the volume of two Olympic-sized swimming pools. So, basically, you don't have to worry about dying from nanoplastics, but what you should worry about is the fear-mongering in the media, because that is their goal, of course. All right, West Virginia, they signed a pledge on protecting women's sports. I'm going to tell you about that before we wrap up the show today. Plus, the FTC, another illegal power grab, once again extending their authority, and business groups are vowing to fight back as my non-compete comes into focus with my contract renewal just weeks away. No, I'm just kidding. But of course, I mean, obviously. But where will this go? What court challenges will loom ahead? We'll talk about all that straight ahead for you in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
An illegal power grab from the FTC, because the FTC loves to just exert its authority. Welcome back to the show. You know, we live in a country right now where the executive branch does all the governing. The executive branch does all of the governing, and the legislative branch sits back and does nothing except spend our money and send it overseas, like what we've got with Ukraine. What we've got with Ukraine, what was signed into law, of course, $95 billion of our money going overseas. And, you know, it was just ridiculous now, as Biden signs the $95 billion foreign aid bill and then blames MAGA for blocking the aid for months. I just want to remind you that we did not get anything for the border in this bill. Nothing. Nothing. We got nothing in this bill. So all the Republicans that were fighting to make sure that at the very least we got border security in some way, shape, or form, we got nothing. Mike Johnson gave away the store. He gave away the store and got nothing in return except a couple pats on the back. Good for you. You did it. You gave the Democrats a big win. That's why they were cheering on the floor of the House when they voted for it. The Democrats were cheering, waving their Ukraine flags. The swamp was happy. The MID, the military industrial complex, was happy. But conservatives should not be happy, because once again, you got nothing. Once again, you were lied to and screwed over by a guy who pretended to be a conservative until he became the speaker and then was dragged into the swamp. And then they did whatever they have, whatever they got on him. And then he came around and gave the Democrats a huge win. A huge win. And got nothing in exchange. And remember now, border funding is dead going forward for the year. We also put in a TikTok ban. We got a TikTok ban. So now we're going to force the sale of this company, which I told you is just another Patriot Act. It's just going to result in more government control over the internet and apps and websites, and have the government have the ability to shut down free speech. That was included, but nothing on the border. Nothing on securing the American border. Here's a little bit of Biden signing the foreign aid bill, $61 billion for Ukraine.
My desk, it was a difficult path. It should have been easier and it should have gotten there sooner. But in the end, we did what America always does. We rose to the moment. We came together and we got it done. Now we need to move fast, and we are. Over 2 years, Russia has been responsible for a brutal campaign against Ukraine. They've killed tens of thousands of Ukrainians, bombed hospitals deliberately, picked them out, bombed hospitals, kindergartens, grain silos, tried to plunge Ukraine into a cold and dark winter.
No, enough, enough, enough. And then Biden said, when he went on and said, well, there's nothing in here for border security. And he acknowledges that. Nothing for border security.
But there's one thing this bill does not do. Border security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just this year, I proposed and negotiated and agreed to the strongest border security bill this country has ever, ever, ever seen. It was bipartisan. It should have been included in this bill. And I'm determined to get it done for the American people. But I'll come back to that in another moment, another time.
Well, that's why I'm telling you right now that Joe Biden is going to lose Pennsylvania. And if he loses Pennsylvania, he loses the ballgame. This is a Pennsylvania voter yesterday that they caught up with after she voted in the primary. Take a listen.
Okay, I voted for Donald Trump.
This is in Bristol.
Donald J. Trump. And I voted for him the last time. Was very, very disappointed because he did an excellent job. And I would vote for him again and again. I think that he's truthful. And he follows through. He accomplished all the things that he wanted to accomplish. And I just feel bad that he didn't get a chance to complete all the things that he wanted to do. Well, I'm praying that it's going to be fair. As long as it's fair, that they don't pull any fast things. I think that he will do a good job for us.
That's a sweet woman. And her name, by the way, is Joyce Linaha. And she's in Bristol, PA. Hopefully she's listening. Hi, Joyce. Well done when you spoke to the Associated Press. Even Ron DeSantis is ripping the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, for getting UNGATS on the border. Nothing. Getting nothing.
Just in relation to, you know, what's been going on in the Congress recently, you know, Republicans were sent there, and the number one issue that our voters wanted them to address is the southern border and the massive influx of foreigners by the millions coming into this country, and we don't know who these people are, and they basically just surrendered on the border. They now have
yep.
no leverage to do anything on the border. They had an opportunity to insist that Biden accept the border if he wanted all the foreign aid, and they decided to capitulate, and so he got everything he wants, and Republican voters did not get anything with respect to stopping this problem at the southern border. And I just think that's you know, look, we're doing more in Florida to deal with it than the Congress is. I mean, it's just pathetic that's going on. So I was really, really disappointed to see that they basically capitulated entirely on the border. And at this point, you're not going to see anything done on the border for the rest of this year. What, are we just going to let in another 2 million people and do nothing about it? I think it was a real, real failure.
It was a huge failure. He's absolutely right. It was a huge failure, huge capitulation. We gave away the store. We did give NPR funding, though. We did give NPR more money. And Tom Massey, Congressman Tom Massey, he's potentially now in trouble. Because he posted a video. This is after they passed the funding for Ukraine with nothing for the border. Nothing. Nothing for the border. After they did that, the Democrats were cheering and waving Ukraine flags. It was a total victory for them. Total victory. So Tom Massey posted this video, and now he's being threatened by the sergeant-at-arms to take the video down, or he's going to be fined, I think, $500 a day or something like that. But here's the cheering from the Democrats waving handheld little Ukraine flags. Nice, right? Nice. They're all excited. They should be excited. They should be very, very happy, proud of themselves. They won. They got everything they wanted. They got everything that they wanted, and we got nothing. The speaker had made a promise. He said, we will not do Ukraine funding. We will not do Ukraine funding. We will not do Ukraine funding unless we get border security, and that did not happen. Didn't happen. And you know, he was on another show, and he was talking to the host of that show, and he was saying that he was in the room in that skiff, the same skiff as Speaker Johnson was. the top briefing with the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, the DNI, the CIA, the DOJ, and he saw the same stuff, and he said none of it justified going forward with the renewal of FISA Section 702 without a warrant provision. Nothing in there justified that. Nothing. But this Johnson guy, I mean, you know, they just gave away the store. Gave it all away and got nothing in return. It's really amazing. And this comes as the FBI is now warning of heightened threats. Whether it's terrorism, China, or an insecure border, the U.S. faces a litany of threats, both internally and internationally, according to the FBI. FBI Director Christopher Wray has repeatedly warned of a heightened threat environment and has pleaded with lawmakers to take each one separately. Why don't we deal with the budget first? I mean, the border first. Why don't we do that? Huh? See, instead of doing that, though, we've got all these Chinese people coming in the country. I shared the numbers with you yesterday. The FBI signaled that China outweighs all the threats. Cybersecurity and counterintelligence apparatus. Why do you think all these people are coming here? I mean, I don't know. And I know that some people think it might be overblown. I don't think it's overblown. I think we should all be very, very concerned about it. I really do. I think we should be very concerned about the border situation, but more concerned about the fact that the Republicans are just willing to just give it all away and get nothing in return. I mean, they didn't even get, I mean, they got nothing. They got nothing. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't know how you could feel like that's a win in any way, shape, or form. I really don't know how you could feel that that's a win. All right, other things to get to. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, they are once again abusing their power, and business groups are vowing to sue. So you may have a non-compete agreement with your employer. You may have that. Business groups are now, they're racing to block the FTC's ban on non-compete agreements. The FTC came out. They don't have the authority to do this under the Constitution. The Congress did not pass this. This is literally something that they're doing. They just did this themselves. Two people. It was a 2-1 vote. 2-1 vote. And the nation's biggest business lobbying group and a national tax services firm both sued the FTC on Wednesday, which is going to ignite now a flare of lawsuits over the agency's regulation aimed at ending non-compete agreements. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce challenged the regulation in federal court in East Texas, while the firm Ryan LLC filed suit in Dallas. Other business groups joined the chamber's suit. And the rule prohibits companies from enforcing existing non-compete agreements on anyone other than senior executives. They say 1 in 5 Americans is subject to non-compete agreements. They also say even lower wage workers, such as security guards and hairstylists, have been subject to non-compete agreements. And doctors sometimes can't find work because they're subject to a non-compete agreement. There are doctors who cannot work because of a non-compete, said one of the Democrat members. An FTC spokesman defended the agency's authority to issue the measure, saying, quote, "Our legal authority is crystal clear. Addressing non-competes that curtail Americans' economic freedom is at the very heart of our mandate, and we look forward to winning in court." That's not at the heart of your mandate. This is making such a huge, massive rule that will essentially now void millions of contracts between employers and their employees. That's well beyond the scope of the FTC. So here's how this plays out. At some point, a federal judge is going to put a stay on this, and then the non-compete agreements are going to stay in place. This will be argued through court, and at some point, it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And I think this Supreme Court has once again decided, or will once again decide, as they've been doing, that it's too much. It's too much. You can't have these executive agencies make all these decisions. When it's this consequential, it's beyond their ability. That's something that has to be left to Congress. That's what I think this Supreme Court will do, because this Supreme Court seems very eager to rein in the executive branch and their rulemaking abilities. Because we don't pass laws anymore. We pass rules. We promulgate rules, and we say that they're rules, but they're laws. They have the weight of law. And that should be voted on by Congress, because Article 1 says that all legislative powers shall be vested in a Congress, not in 3 unelected bureaucrats at the FTC. The Biden administration called for eliminating non-competes in 2021. Well, if that's what you want, if you want to eliminate them, then put it up for a vote. See if it'll go through Congress. Have the people's representatives vote on it. It's not that complicated. if there's enough support, then it'll pass. And then, but remember something: the jurisdiction would only be over companies that do business over state lines, because that's all the authority Congress would have. And then the rest of it should be left up to the states. I don't even think Congress should get involved in this. In my opinion, I think this is outside the realm of the legislature. I think this is something that you've got to deal with between employers and employees. But it will be challenging court. It will go forward in that capacity until it reaches the Supreme Court. The question is just timing. When? And I'm very excited that we have justices on there that want to rein in the executive branch. Very excited about that. Because I've told you, there's two different deep states. There's the deep state that is the deep state that is the one that uses the law enforcement powers that we've given the government to spy on us and intimidate us and interject itself into our politics for political outcomes. That's the one deep state. The other deep state is the unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats who make rules that have the weight of law and do it without any accountability whatsoever. Two competing deep states, and both of which have to be dealt with, and both of which have to be resolved. You have to do it. Because if we don't do it, then we're going to be in a situation where we're going to find ourselves with a government it's no longer going to be by the people, for the people, and of the people. It's going to be by the bureaucrats, of the bureaucrats, and for the bureaucrats. That's what you're going to have. I mean, we already basically have that. You know, we already basically have that in this country. But all right, I got to go. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Have a great rest of your night. Don't forget, May 3rd, Friday, May 3rd, at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great time. I want to see you there at the Grand Hotel, my happy place. Have a great rest of your night. Keep the conversation going on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.